on weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Thanks to David and Lottie. It's a Friday, the 7th of June, and this is Game On. While it's hurling provincial final weekend, and we've Shane McGrath and John Milan with us to preview all of the action. Alan Cawley is in studio as we build up to the Euros, look at tonight's League of Ireland games, and discuss Robbie Keane's next move. It's also day one of the European Athletics Championships. Carl Dennehy is live from Rome. If you want to get in touch, you can text us on 51552. We're on X at Game On 2FM, or you can WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome along. Alan Cawley is with me in studio. Alan, it's set to be another great weekend of sport. Everybody loves the hurling, that's for sure. What are you looking forward to?
Evening, Marie. Well, I'm really looking forward to the Munster final. I tweeted there a couple of weeks back about my love for the hurling, that it's almost taken on a life of its own, and I think the Munster Championships should set up their own competition, Marie. It's that good.
You absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It is. And obviously the game on Sunday is going to be a cracker. Clare against Limerick, the target that's on Limerick's back, everybody gunning for them. And it must be so difficult. I've kind of equated that to, obviously, in the football world, with Man City, Shamrock Rovers, Dublin, mm-hmm. when they were winning everything in the football as well. It must be very, very hard to come back year after year with that target on your back, everybody aiming at you, everybody gunning for you. And you can only take your hat off to those teams and those players that keep producing year after year. But I have a funny feeling this could be the year that Limerick get caught out.
Okay, well, we will find out from how they get on in Munster anyway this weekend. Alan, I know you consider yourself a bit of a hurling expert. I always wondered how. And now I know that you're in a hurling WhatsApp group with John Milan. And John Milan joins us on the line as well. John, does he like to give his opinions on the WhatsApp group?
Well, I'll tell you, his tips on League of Ireland. League of Ireland today, I'll tell you, he's a bit of a... He's a bit of improvement to do. So hopefully, as we said earlier that tonight will be the night that we'll land a couple of
he might redeem himself.
Couple of bits,
Marie.
So he's a bit of hopefully now coming into the Euros now, Marie. He'll
might start delivering.
His predictions are starting to improve. It's so bad that I'm predicting.
we've actually flip-flopped, Marie. If we actually showed our WhatsApp group and the predictions every Friday,
you'd all be out of a job.
I'd be cancelled from the League of Ireland punditry team, and I'd be actually added on to the hurling panel for the Sunday game. I would. I'm better at the hurling.
Okay, well, we'll find out now. You may as well get involved in this hurling chat, because I do know you're a huge fan.
Well, John's
fan.
Very good at the soccer. John's yeah. Excellent soccer man.
Well, I knew John was a soccer fan as well. Shane McGrath joins us on the line as well. So we're going to start with Leinster, because it is tomorrow, and in a way it's kind of maybe been overshadowed a little bit by Munster and the big game on Sunday. But Shane, in Leinster it's an absolutely huge game, and it's one of those ones that Kilkenny, Dublin, just given the form and what's happened this season so far, it could go any way. How do you see it going, Shane McGrath?
Yeah, thanks very much, Marie, for inviting me in there. I'm not on the WhatsApp group with the boys, so unfortunately,
yes.
I'm not in with them, so it might be someday. Anyway, look, listen, I just think the Leinster, look, it is what it is. The Munster gets the most coverage because it is, it's the best thing the GAA have right now. So Leinster kind of come in under the radar until you get to All-Ireland quarterfinals, All-Ireland semifinals. That's just the way it is. And I just look, what can you do? But I just think, I was in Salt Hill a couple of weeks ago, see Dublin play Galway, and what I said enough was the biggest talking point. But to be honest, I think it got overshadowed how good Dublin were that day and how well they're hurling at the moment. And it's, I suppose it's down to like any team, Marie. Like, you have when you have your best players available, like, and they're not injured, and you know, they're playing in the positions that they love playing in. So, and that's what Dublin have right now. They've probably been in the best vein of form, or you know, I'd say the buzz around the camp has been the best since Mahal Dunne, who went in there like last year. And take for like Owen O'Donnell, fullback, he's one of the best fullbacks in the country. Chris Crummy is hurling unbelievable, like, he was out for 2 years. He's their wing back, scored 4 points for play at last day. Conor Burke is one of their top scorers from play. He's playing midfield, like, I think he's fourth or fifth top scorer for Dublin, 1-9. And Donal Burke, we all know about Donal Burke, but even like Danny Sutcliffe, like, the resurgence he's got. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, they're spreading it around in, like, Ronan Hayes up there, Sean Curry's up there. Like, I mean, like, Dublin are, they're a good team. And you know what? Like, we really didn't know, and I didn't know myself where they were before the championship began. I thought, looking at the league, I thought, this team are going to struggle at the top level. And, like, say, Okay, the first day against Wexford, they ground out the result. Wexford were the better team, but they went on. Good performances against Carlow. Antrim, you know, were by far the best team, the better team against Galway, the way they used the ball. And, like, the whole thing for me was nearly epitomised by their captain, Paddy Smith, who was playing cornerback and was marking Conor Whelan and scored much from play from cornerback as Conor Whelan did from corner forward. And that's the confidence they're playing with, I suppose, and that's the vein of form they're in. And do you know what? I don't know, like, can you say it's a shock, Marie? Like, I don't think it'll be a shock if they win it tomorrow night, because I think they're going well and they're performing well and they're backing up performance. I think Dublin are going to win that Leinster final tomorrow night in Croke Park. I know Kilkenny on paper there now, you know, Adrian Mullen is back to start, and you know, Owen Cody's back starting again. You know, he played the last day, but Adrian Mullen back in with Cody and TJ, and the way they work with John Donnelly, might be a doubt with injury. You know, he'd be a massive loss to Kilkenny. And I just think Dublin are coming into it in a really, really great place, and Kilkenny are starting to get there through the gears. I mean, it might come down to who'll want it more. Obviously, very hard to say about Kilkenny, a person that don't want to win a cup, like, yeah. But I mean, I just think there has to be a lot of hunger there with the Dublin lads, Marie, to get the job done, and I think they will.
Yeah, well, there's a real buzz around Dublin, John Milan, ahead of this. You can just sense it, that there's a bit of confidence. Lots of clubs are sending in all their kids. It'll probably be a really big crowd there. Just given how they've progressed this season, do you think that, like Shane, they're going to come away with the Leinster title tomorrow evening?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose I'd echo a lot of what Shane said there. I watched them in the league, and I suppose throughout the course of the league, you know, they were down an awful lot of bodies. I suppose the big one was the return of Chris Cromie. And I suppose, look, once they got everyone back on the field, everyone available, they were always going to have a good core of lads there. And as Shane just touched on there, some exceptional players that would grace any team across the country. I suppose in year two, sometimes it takes, when a new manager comes in, it probably takes a second year to kind of, for a manager to stamp his authority on the team, and, you know, kind of iron out what way he wants his team to play. And, you know, Dublin are playing to a style that suits this team. A lot of runners. We've seen the last day against Kilkenny, they caused Kilkenny untold problems running through the centre. The form of Donal Burke as well, you know, he's been in incredible form the last two games. But I think the Cats will take a lot of learnings from that game up in Parnell Park. I think they'll home in on how Dublin performed up in Galway. And I've just a funny feeling that Mikey Butler will be given the role tomorrow to curtail the influence of Donal Burke. And I think if Mikey Butler goes along and does what he done to the likes of Tony Kelly 2 years in a row, like he's done to other top class forwards, if he can curtail his influence, I think the Cats are in with a great chance of winning this game. I think on the flip side of that, you're talking about the Dubs, everyone talking up the Dubs are, you know, probably tipping the Dubs as Shane has done just there. That's when the Cats are at their best. That's when Kilkenny are dangerous. That's when they grind the teeth, they roll up the sleeves, they get down and dirty, and they bring an untold intensity. And I think that's what they'll do tomorrow, albeit there's talk they're going to be missing John Donnelly. Mikey Carey's going to be a big loss for him, but look, Shane Murphy will probably slot in there. I'm sure the likes of Tom Phelan, they've Wally Welsh back as well. And it's at this stage of the competition that the likes of TJ, you know, Cody, Mullen, they seem to come alive. And I just have a funny feeling. I'd love to see Dublin win it. I think all neutrals would love to see Dublin win it, but I'm still leaning towards Kilkenny and getting the job done tomorrow evening, Marie.
Shane McGraw, we can hear there's a baby crying in the background. I can only predict it's because
there's Dodie's flying left, right and centre here, Marie.
Is it because we didn't?
That's why he's not in the WhatsApp group.
Is it because we didn't start with the Munster final? Is that what's wrong there now? Is it?
Yeah. 2-year-old girl here, Molly, is disgusted that we're talking about Leinster.
Before you move on to Munster, can I ask the lads, Marie, just
go for it.
From a Kilkenny point of view, and John kind of touched on it there, do you think, because of all the hype around Munster, and obviously now as you started the show, obviously, Marie, with Dublin and the hype around Dublin, and people Shane obviously predicted that they might win tomorrow, do they get offended by that, Kilkenny, when you think of obviously the history and heritage they have as a hurling county? It's almost phenomenal, and we're almost ruling them out.
Shane?
I don't think they do. I just think they're the ultimate just go about their business team. They just like they are going for five in a row, Leinster. People forget that, like, you know what I mean? They've been the team that have been getting to All Ireland finals the last few years, even though they've been in transition and they've new managers and everything, and you know, they mightn't have the same qualities before, but they're still probably the team that's putting it up to the best team over the last few years. So I don't think it bothers them. I think the only thing that bothers them is just winning. And I think some people in Leinster might be offended by it, and that's fair enough, but let's call a spade, like, I mean, Munster is what it is. It's just an unbelievable championship where everybody's on an even keel. You've five brilliant teams in it. The atmospheres are unreal at the games. It is what it is. And look, and until you get to All Ireland semi-finals, really, you know, and if there's one or two Leinster teams in it, you know, then you can see that, yeah, look, there is really good teams in Leinster. Of course there is. But I just think Munster is just so good, Alan, that it's just up there above everything else at the moment in terms of the GAA, like.
I think, though, tomorrow, John, that this could be one of these games, though, that because the two teams are so competitive, and Dublin in particular, will have that hunger. Kilkenny always have it, we know that. But it could be one of those games that, you know, really is a memorable one. What do you think, John?
Yeah, well, look, I'm hoping so, Marie. I suppose, look, the history books will tell you that Dublin have only beaten Kilkenny, once since 1942, and that was after a replay in 2013. They were extremely unlucky there. What, two years ago, was it the COVID match where they were 18 points down, and they came back, brought Kilkenny down the home straight, and Kilkenny again, they just found a way to get over the line by a point or two. Yeah, I think I think it will be close. I think it could probably draw parallels to the way the match played out in Parnell Park. I think something similar might play out along those lines tomorrow night, but I just feel that when it comes down to the home straight, I just think the big boys in Kilkenny, Cody, TJ, Mullen, Mossy Keown, I think they will find a way. And on top of that, Marie, we cannot go away from it. The winners tomorrow evening, the magnitude of winning tomorrow evening is massive, because you avoid potentially having to play three monster sides on the other side of the draw. So the losers tomorrow are potentially looking at Cork, Clare and Limerick, and that's going to be a big ask for any team to go and win the All-Ireland.
Yeah, when you put it like that, and when you name out the big guns that Kilkenny have, and you know, we haven't even talked about TJ that much, but you know, give TJ.
That's Milan's favourite. I listen to it every day of the week. TJ, TJ this and TJ that.
The discipline's going to be huge, and of course, Dublin as well have a lot of young players and going into that cauldron. They'll have to do a lot to get over the line, but we'll see how that goes. Shane, just when we're talking about Kilkenny and how they seem to be able to get the job done, especially on the big stage and the big day when there's so much at stake, could you just apply that same logic to Limerick and how they're going to get on against Clare on Sunday?
Yeah, you could, as Alan said there at the top of the programme, you just have to admire them, you know. I mean, we're very close to them here where I'm living. We do hear a lot of them, and especially over the last few years, but they're just awesome. With some teams in every sport, like when you lose a big player or a big profile or personality, you feel, oh, will they get it done? And this team went on and won All Ireland without Keane Lynch, and even last year without Dickie Hannan, their captain, and Sean Finn, and it just doesn't seem to faze them. Like, that could knock the stuffing out of another group, but they just, next guy comes in and they just do their job so well. But for me, Marie, like, if Clare do not beat them Sunday, I don't think Clare are going to beat them. I don't think this current Clare group are going to beat them. Maybe, you know, for a while, you know, you'll have people stepping away.
Yeah.
You'll have people stepping away, like, you know, you'll have five or six of the Clare lads, even, you know, Shane O'Donnell said it earlier in the year that, you know, it is probably coming towards the end inter-county wise, you know, because of life and everything. And maybe the same for a few of the Limerick boys, but I mean, everything is lined up for Clare to do it, like, as in regards, they have everyone, like, everyone is there now. They're, like, Brian Lohan has everybody that he wants. Now, David McInerney's a slight injury, though, but he's still down to play, and Tony Kelly is in the subs. He's even come up from 26 up to 22, I think, there, so that he might get on 3 minutes earlier now, or maybe he might start. And, you know, I just think that they have everyone.
hurt has to be a major, major motivation as well in sport. And, like, they must be hurting over the last two Munster finals. Like, 1998, since Clare last won the Munster final, several of the Clare players starting Sunday weren't even born the last time Anthony Daly walked up the steps in Semple Stadium. All these things, like, it'll be seven finals since 1998, Munster finals, that Clare will have lost, like. And all these things have to be motivators. Of course, the current group are focused on themselves and what they're going to do and what happened in the past. They can't have too much influence. But it has to be there, like, for like, what did it mean to the people of Clare? Like, that, like, I'd say that pitch invasion we had that night down in Cork, it'll be that and more on Sunday in Thurles if Clare can get this done. Because, as you said, there's a cohort of people going to that match on Sunday. And while Clare have won in All-Ireland, you know, and won under-21s and minors, there's something really special about winning the Munster Senior Championship. And a lot of people in Clare have not ever seen that in their lifetime so far. And I don't know, I just don't think there's too much motivation needed. Like, if it was just those things, few things you said. And look, as I said, the motivation is like the hurt from last year, the hurt from the year before. And I said they have everyone. Limerick, on the other hand, like, you know, they are without Peter Casey. Shammy Flanagan's out. Sean Finn's not togging, and Darragh Donovan is named to tog. But, you know, even if he was to come in, it still is going to be his first game of the year, championship wise anyway. And all those things, like, you know, they're down to a few players. Clare have everyone, has to be the hurt there. You know, Limerick, like, their record in finals is unbelievable. Like 13 out of 13 finals. Like, they've never lost a final under John Kiely. I think the Dublin footballers have won more than I think they've won 14 finals between league, Leinster Championship and All-Ireland Championships under Jim Gavin. And that's just where this Limerick team are at in the hurling terms. So obviously that'll have to come to an end someday, but I just think it's so, everything is lining up for Clare to do it, and there can be no excuses for me for them if they don't get it done this Sunday. I just think so many things are in their favour, Marie.
John,
would you rule him out, Shane, altogether? Like, just say it, just on the off chance Clare come up short by a point or two on Sunday, would you totally dismiss him then if they were to? No, I'm not saying that. I quite fancy Clare the weekend, but just say if Clare were to come up short by a point or two, would you totally dismiss him then in the aftermath of that, going into the All-Ireland series?
I think they're done, yeah. I think they're done mentally. I think they'd have gone to the well too many times and not got the job done. You know, they have their league title, but I just think the wanting and needing thing, you know what I mean? Like, Limerick will want to win it, of course they will, and, you know, create their own history, winning six in a row in Munster, you know, surpassing every other team in Munster, and it's never been done in Munster. But I think that Clare need this. Like, they need it, like, do you know, like oxygen. Like, I think they have to get this done, or else mentally I think they'll be broken for the rest of the year, John. And remember, like, you know, Cork are coming now as well. I think they've got their second wind, and they've got their lifeline. They're coming, you know, Wexford are still going to be good. And if Clare were to play either of them in a quarter final, John, in 2 weeks time, I think mentally they'd be done. I obviously, hurling wise very, very top team. But you know yourself, John, I suppose we've both been through it, like, you know, when you're trying so hard to get something done and you can't get it done, I just think it does take a lot out of you mentally. Like,
I'd be with Shane, even John, on the game earlier in the season with the lead they had and everything, and to let that slip, let alone all the past kind of failures and disappointments that they've had.
I agree to disagree, but like, if they come up, like, I'm seeing this game going down to the wire, and if it goes down to the wire, there's no reason why Limerick won't do what Limerick do, and they can still get over the line, just scrape over the line like Limerick have done in the past by a point or two. But I still wouldn't dismiss, like, if Clare were to come up short by a point or two, I still wouldn't dismiss him, because you have to remember now as well, Tony Kelly ain't starting, he's probably getting back up to speed. You know, I think if they got back into a semi-final, and just say in the off chance they were to meet Kilkenny again, knowing that what's after going on the last 2 years, that they'll come with a bit between their teeth saying, well, you know what, we have to set the record straight in an All-Ireland semi-final. And all of a sudden then they could find themselves back in an All-Ireland final, potentially against possibly Limerick again. So I wouldn't be as quick to... Now, I can understand the mental side of it, where you come from, but if they were to come up short by a point or two, I still wouldn't dismiss them, you know, that you can just totally write them off in the aftermath of this year's Munster final. You know, I just that'll be my opinion. You know.
Yeah, that's all fair. Shane, key matchups, key battles. Where will the game be won and lost, do you think?
Yeah, I'd have a few. Obviously, because Limerick have so many just top players, but like Clare, as I said, Clare as strong as they possibly can be. You know, I'll be, will Tony Kelly start or not? But I suppose, I think if David McInerney starts, him picking up Garrod Hegarty, thought he did a super job in him in Ennis for 50-55 minutes, and then, you know, Limerick retreated down the field and tactically Clare kind of switched around and obviously played into Limerick's hands. But I think Dave McInerney and Garrod Hegarty, I think, would be a great battle. I think the two full backs against the two full forwards, in the full forward line, we'll say, I think Conor Cleary and Gillan have just come up with this rivalry between the two of them. They've had great battles on and off the ball, and you know they're both well able to mind themselves, and they're both well able to dish it out as well. Like, so I just think, you know, Conor Cleary was a massive loss last year in the Munster final, and we all see what Gillan did in the Munster final last year. He went to town, so I think that'll be a big plus for Clare. So I think that'll be a brilliant battle as well, Conor Cleary and Gillan. And then at the other end of the field, he's not the top guy maybe, but he's definitely a front runner maybe for Hurler of the Year the way he's going, is Shane O'Donnell. And I just think him and probably Dan Morrissey will pick him up. And I just think that Shane O'Donnell is in such a vein of form, what he does, not only from scores from play, but I mean assists, win and freeze, creating space, amount of possessions he gets on, and he's just so physically strong, so good. He's hurling so well. But and Dan Morrissey then the other side, Marie, is the bigger the day, the better this guy plays. I know we've already all heard that from sports psychologists one way or another, but that's what Dan Morrissey is for me. I've yet to see Dan Morrissey have a poor game on a really big day for Limerick, and I just think he relishes the role. He's mentally so strong. So like, I think you've three battles there, like David McInerney against Hegarty, I think Conor Cleary and Gillan, I think Shane O'Donnell and Dan Morrissey, and like if whoever comes out the right side of those battles, I think will be a massive telling point of where the Mickey Cup is going to end up on Sunday evening. Like,
John, what do you think from a battles point of view?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose, look, you go to when Waterford played Limerick the last day, Waterford across their half forland, they went with three small men against three man mountains. You know, Clare are the opposite of that. They've two big men on the wings. Fitzgerald on Hayes is going to be a fascinating battle. Likewise, Duggan on Burns. And if they can put him on the back foot there, you know, you've Colin Malone will probably pick up Will O'Donoghue. Then you have Rogers centre forward, possibly on Declan Hannan. You're looking at the other one then, John Conlon on possibly Keane Lynch. When Keane Lynch went in centre forward, number 11, the last day up in Ennis, probably caused Conlon a few problems. So, you know, you're asking the question then, you know, Rogers likes to come off at number 11. He's posing the question then to Declan Hannan, are you going to follow me or are you going to stay? Likewise with John, with Keane Lynch, with John Condon, he's going to ask the questions, are you going to follow or are you going to stay? And we've seen time and time again, the only way you take on this Limerick team is that you go mano-mano, you push up and you follow them everywhere. And I think Clare got a lot of joy out of that. Cork got an awful lot of joy out of it. We've seen this year, the two teams that sat their centre-backs back in the pocket in that sitting role were both Tipperary and Waterford, hence why both of them struggled and hence why both teams were comprehensively beaten. So I foresee that Clare will go with the same approach that they've gone with the last 2 or 3 years. They'll take a couple of risks. And yeah, I think all those battles that Shane touched on, likewise the battles that I've touched on, it's just going to be a humdinger of a match. It's one I'm really looking forward to. Full house, Thurles. I mean, Shane, I tell you, Cawley, one day he'll probably come down to a Munster final. You know, you can't beat a Munster final down in Thurles. Full house, you've been there, Marie.
Yeah.
It's just an unbelievable occasion. And I think going to get the game to match the sellout crowd, I think it's going to be an unbelievable occasion. I think it's really going to go down to the wire. And as Shane touched on, I just have a funny feeling. I just think, you know, 28 years I was down in Dungarvan this morning. There are 26 years I was down in Dungarvan this morning. I seen a picture on the wall. The Tour de France came to Ireland in that same year that Anthony Daly connected the club. history is going to be made Sunday, whatever happens. It's either going to be the six in a row or Clare are going to break the duck after 26 years. But I just have a feeling that it's going to go down to the wire again, and I think Clare just might edge it and have the bit of luck on their side this time around.
I'm not going to the Champions League final lecture, I'm going to the Munster final instead. There's a commitment.
Well, I'm telling you, they'll be just as good as each other, that's for sure. Lads, before we finish up, the Joe McDonagh final is on this weekend as well. Shane Leash and Offaly, just look, there's a lot of talk about whether it's serving its purpose or not, but just in terms of a game in itself, how do you think it's going to go, Shane?
The Joe McDonagh is 100%. Like it's brilliant, Marie. I think the games you have in it, I think, are excellent. I think, you know, you really know where you're at after it, and the two best teams usually do get to the final, and that's been the case again this year. How do I think it's going to go? I think that Leash, how will I say, they almost nearly robbed Offaly when they played earlier on the round robin, like, to be honest. And I'd say, you know, Offaly did a lot of the hurling for most of that game. Obviously, we all know, lads, Offaly are on a wave, are on a momentum at the moment. The whole county is behind them with the results with the under-20s. 4 or 5 men involved there between starting and on the panel at the weekend. For me, Marie, I think Offaly, for to develop the talent that they have with the 20s, and to see where they're at and see what they need to do, they need to be up in Liam McCarthy. And people might say, oh, they should stay in. If they stayed in Joe McDonagh, it wouldn't be the end of the world because they get more games, you know, and they get a feel for it. If you really want to learn where you're at, you need to be up against the best. And like, say, obviously, Adam Screeny is top, top talent and he's unreal. And for the likes of him and you know, Dan Burke and a few more of the guys, if they really want to know, like, what do we need to do? Like, what do we need to do, like, you know, physically, S&C-wise? Where do we need to go? What on top of our hurling, what do we need to add to our game? If we really want to be awfully to be competitive at the top table again, and where are they going to learn that? They're going to learn that, you know, in Leinster Championship, in Liam McCarthy, with the likes of, like John said already, with the likes of a Mikey Butler following you around for 60, 70 minutes, then you really know where you're at or where you need to know what you need to do. And I think that's why Offaly need to win this, to get those lads up to see what it's like. And I do feel that Offaly, with the momentum, the crowd that'll be there to support them, and I do feel that they were the better team earlier in the year against Leash, and that's why I think Offaly will get the job done in the Joe Mac final, and Offaly hurling back up Liam McCarthy. And what a year it'll be from what a few years it has been under, you know, since, to be fair to him, since Michael Deignan went in there as well, the people he's got involved, the support he's got involved off the field for the groups, for hurling, football, camogie, all of them. And that's why I think, you know, with all that goodwill and the support that they have at the moment, Marie, and that good feel, I think Offaly will get it done at the weekend.
John, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I didn't see a whole lot of Leash this year, but any games I covered with that Offaly played in the league, I was very, very impressed by him. The Offaly team has to be named. I like to look at it, the Offaly team that they're after naming. I think there's a lovely balance between the mix of experience and the youth. Likewise, Leash have a nice mix as well. I think if Offaly are to push on, I think one lad that they're going to really have to kind of home in on is going to be Paddy Purcell. We've seen how influential he's been over the years for Leash. If Offaly can go and curtail him, I think they've a cracking chance. And I think, you know, they'll have, you know, the top players up top, the likes of Screeny, Dan Burke, Cattle, you know, Dighton. I think that they have a better spread of scorers up top to get the job done, and I just think they'll get over the line. And I'm expecting, again, I'm expecting another great game. I covered that game last year up with Carlo. Ticket sales are going so well, so we're expecting a big crowd from Leash and expecting a big crowd from Offaly. But yeah, I'd give the nod to Offaly. But look, across the weekend, it's a marvellous weekend of hurling to look forward to. We've been crying out for it the last couple of weeks. We've 3 live games on RT Sport, and yeah, I think the 3 games will be very, very close. And for all GA followers out there, I think outside of the All-Ireland semi-final weekend, this is a marvellous weekend for hurling, and I don't think it will disappoint over the weekend.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, lads, Shane, I'll let you go and find the Dodie for the baby. John, I'll let you get back to looking at those predictions that Alan Colley is going to put in for the League of Ireland. We'll be discussing and reflecting all of the hurling action on this programme on Monday. So do tune in for that. Thanks so much, guys. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be back with all of the football previews, and we're also going to be checking in with Cathal Dennehy on how the athletics is going.
2FM.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back. So anyone that was tuned in to RGA chat is probably looking forward to all of the rest of the Gaelic Games action over the next few weeks, and it's actually going by so quick. And if people want more previews and more discussions, there is a brilliant fundraiser taking place, an All-Ireland preview event in the K Club to raise funds to help support bereaved families at the Coombe Hospital. So Gaelic managers and footballers including Jim Gavin, Tomás O'Shea, Peter Canavan, Lindsay Pete, Mick Galway, Pádraig Joyce, and hurlers Donal O'Cusack, TJ Ryan, Davy Fitz, Jackie Turrell and Liam Sheedy are going to be at the K Club. They're going to be playing golf on Thursday the 11th of July, and they're also going to have an All-Ireland preview dinner as well. That's going to take place at 7 o'clock. Marty Morrissey and Jackie Hurley are going to be presenting that. So if you would like to go, you can check out the Coombe Charity Day at gmail.com to get information. You can text as well, 087 780 737. There's a GoFundMe page as well. There's a brilliant initiative, it's for a great cause, so do check it all out. And as I said, more GA talk, what more could you want? And for a brilliant cause as well. We're going to turn our attention to football now. Alan Colley is with me in studio. Al, we're going to be looking at all of the League of Ireland action, but there's a few news lines that I want to go through with you first. First and foremost, Robbie Keane is departing his managerial role. No one knows where he's going, what he's going to be doing, but I know that he has now been linked again with the Ireland manager job. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I saw that news today. Obviously, it was announced earlier on that he'd be leaving. I suppose, first things first, Marie, he did a brilliant job from, I suppose, looking at the job he did with Maccabi Tel Aviv. From a football aspect, mm-hmm. he did a really good job winning the league. They won a League Cup and they did really well in Europe as well, ultimately only getting beaten by Olympiacos, who went on to win the Conference League in the end. So he's had a brilliant season in that regard. Of course, he's taken a lot of criticism as well for taking the job initially in the first place. So it was probably always on the cards that once the season was over, he might have reflected on that decision, and maybe that's the reason why he chose to leave when he has. You mentioned now that he's put himself in a position, I think, football wise, that he's very, very attractive for a club in terms of the success that he's had, obviously, as a manager as well. So he's put himself in a position now where he will attract interest. Whether that interest comes from the national team, I'd say it probably will, because of the long drawn out process that we've seen so far, and because of the other names that are linked. And if you're to even look at it from the aspect of people saying John O'Shea is in prime position to get the job, well, he hasn't even managed yet, whereas Robbie Keane now has got a season under his belt and been successful winning as well. So if you just go by that logic alone, he's probably ahead of John O'Shea. Maybe not in terms of the fact that John is in and is in possession of the role at the moment, managing, getting the win the other night, and people are suggesting if he was to get a good result Tuesday against Portugal that will be it and he'll get the job. So that remains to be seen, but I know obviously a lot of speculation today since Robbie announced that he won't be going back to Maccabi, that he's, I suppose, the odds have shortened as well, and there's a lot of speculation that he will potentially become the Ireland manager. He's definitely in the running, Marie. I'd have no doubt, and I know he's obviously had a relationship previously with Mark Hannan, because as an employee under the regime before, so I'm sure that conversation, if it hasn't taken place already, it's going to take place. Whether to give it to him, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. That's totally up to them, but because the process has been a bit shambolic up to now, who knows what they'll do.
What do you think they should do?
Well, I've said all along for the last probably 3, 4, 5 months that I would have given it to John O'Shea by now. I felt it was an insult to ask John O'Shea to come back the second time as a caretaker, because if he was a credible candidate in the first place, which we all thought he was and we all felt he was, why was he asked to come back the second time? He should have actually said to the FEI the second time, I'm not coming back as a caretaker. I'm either going to get the job or I'm not getting the job. Now, John being John, and he's such a nice person, I think he's just taking it out of the fact that he's a good person as well. We all know he wants the job. Whether he should get it off the back of just winning a game the other night and that game in isolation, I don't think that's the right process. But because it's been so kind of protracted and drawn out and being a shambles, let's be honest about it, has been a shambles, I think he probably is the prime candidate now. And I would have given it to even to cut out the messing that we've seen in the last how long, I would have given it to him by now.
Okay, while we're on the topic of Irish football, Ireland international Jake O'Brien, he is playing with Leon at the moment and he's been now linked with a move to Borussia Dortmund. Dan McDonald in The Independent wrote this story today and said that there's a couple of other clubs in both England and Italy looking at Jake O'Brien as well. Bit of a remarkable rise really, Al, isn't it?
I saw that today, yeah, Dan had the story. It's unbelievable, it really is, Marie, and fair play to him because obviously I remember the stage when he was struggling to get into 21s and it just goes to show obviously the rise that you can have.
Right environment
that we always discuss, Marie, the right place at the right time, a bit of luck, that goes a long way as well. People always think, and I know from my own experience, you'd always have this kind of view that it's all down to ability. It's not, so much of it is luck. You get a lucky break, everybody needs a break in life, no matter what it is, whether it's the football world or just your own kind of occupation, whatever it is you do, everybody needs a break in life, and he's got his break and he's grabbed it, and that's the most important thing. When you do get the break, Marie, you grab it with both hands, and that young fella has, and fair play to him, and now he's reaping the rewards. He obviously made his debut for the senior team during the week, played really really well when he came on. I was disappointed he didn't start, because if you think about Duffy's old news in terms of the future and looking forward, this is the future, Jake O'Brien, and I felt he should have started the game the other night. When he came on, played really well, and now he's put himself in a position where, as you say, he's been linked with the likes of Borussia Dortmund and other clubs, and it's onwards and upwards for the young fella. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and you need a bit of patience as well, Al, I'd imagine too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, but and I suppose you have to be strong mentally when you face setbacks and adversity as well, because he would have faced a few, and I know from speaking to Jim, and even with the 21s, and he wasn't really getting a look in, and that can go two ways, Marie. That can weigh you down, where you go back to your club and you start sulking and your form deteriorates completely, or else you can go back and approach it the right way and say, I'm going to show everybody and I'm going to knuckle down and get the head down. And obviously that's what he's done. As he said, he got the break to go on loan and he's grabbed it with both hands, and yeah, it is, it's a remarkable rise, as you said, it's brilliant.
I know you've been chatting there, so you probably haven't been looking at the Ireland under 21 match.
We're two up,
it's now 3-2. So, yeah, they're ahead now 3-2, and they were 3 up and have conceded 2 goals. So Croatia just got a penalty, so that's an Ireland under 21 friendly against Croatia. But good to see them, even, I mean, they've come back now and scored 2 goals, but still, to score 3 goals against Croatia, that's
yeah, when
good.
I left it, Marie, when we started the show, there were 2 up and it was brilliant, and I think Sinclair Armstrong had scored and we're all a big fan of his, and Idemo Amaku got the second, so to go 3 up, as you say, away to Croatia, brilliant. Obviously they've conceded 2 now, but that's a group, and we've discussed it many times here with the 21s, and even from chatting to Jim, he's very fond of them in that group. He said they're a really strong united group, and obviously they're still in with a shout with the campaign as well, with the games upcoming. So they're just continuing that momentum and that rise that they're on, and it's great to see. And you'd love to see 2 or 3 of them progress as well. Obviously Boston Lawal, who I'm a huge fan of, he was involved with the senior team during the week. I was disappointed as well that he didn't get a game. Now I know John is probably in a position where he spoke about it, even he had a joke where Jimmy's winning matches and we need to get back to the stage where Ireland were winning matches, and even though they didn't play well, they got the victory, and it's amazing how much the mood changes even with a poor performance and a win rather than a good performance and a defeat. So I'm sure he was keen to get the result, but I would have loved to have seen the likes of Lawal and a few of these lads get their opportunity and get their chance. But their opportunity is coming if they keep going on the trajectory that they're on.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant to see. We'll be keeping an eye on that for the next 15 minutes or so to see how it finishes up. We're going to turn our attention to the League of Ireland now. John Kenny is at Shelburne and Dundalk. It kicks off at 7:45 at Talca Park. Any team news, John Kenny?
Yeah, I got 1 or 2 team news for you. Shells are bringing in Tyreek Wilson and John Martin from the Sligo defeat last week. We were in studio talking to Alan Cawley. I said Sligo had a chance. He said no. But Shells lost 2-1. Dundalk's long-term injury problem, Robbie Benson, is on the bench tonight. That's good news for them. But Shells, who are the long-time leaders, could lose the lead of the Premier Division tonight if they lose at home here to improving Dundalk. And second place, Derry City, who entertained Galway, win at the Brandywell. Third place, Shamrock Rovers, probably would have liked a game tonight, but their match against Bohemians was called off due to those international call-ups, especially amongst the under-21s. The Shells 2 points clear of Derry, 6 clear of Rovers, will hope to bounce back from last week's home defeat to Sligo, as improving Dundalk made the trip down the M1 here to Talca Park. Dundalk, under the new boss John Daly, have shown signs of life recently. They've taken 7 from a possible 12, and their 3-2-1 at St. Pat's last Monday, real thriller that one, lifted Dundalk off the foot of the table above near neighbours Drogheda. They host St. Pat's this evening, while tonight's other game is Waterford versus Sligo. A big game in the first of the leaders, Cork against Athlone. All of those matches kicking off at 7:45.
Now, John, since I'm putting everybody on the spot here, and I've been asking Alan Colley questions that he hasn't been across yet, what about the Ireland cricket team? I'm sure you've been following it in action against Canada.
Yeah, it's very close. All right, Canada made 137 for 7 off their 20 overs. It's a dog of a pitch, that. It's in New York. They put a pop-up stadium there. 35,000 people were supposed to attend. There was hardly anybody there for this game against Canada.
Wow.
The pitch is in very bad order. They showed that against India. Ireland were in real trouble, and they were bowled out for 90-something. But they're making a bit of a fist of it now. They're 110 for 6, so they need 28 runs from 13 balls. George Dockrell is in there with Market there, hoping to get Ireland over the line. If they lose, they're in trouble, because they've got games coming up against Pakistan and who's the other team in the group? Anyway, they've got another team. Two more matches to go. And
USA, isn't it, John?
Yeah, the USA. Sorry, that's right. USA, who 2 wins from 2, you're right. And that's down in Florida. So they have to win today to have any chance of making the top two and making the Super Eights. So they're, 17.5 overs, they need 28 runs from 13 balls. It's doable. It's doable with the two of them at the crease. Let's hope they can get over the line.
Okay, John Kenny, as always, thank you so much for that. Alan Colley, is there anything you don't know when it comes to sport?
Well, I watched it last night, USA beat Pakistan. And in terms of upsets, Marie, I don't know if you'd ever get a bigger one. USA beating Pakistan at cricket, it was unreal.
I saw...
And it deserved it as well. It was brilliant.
I saw the social media reaction all right. And it was...
And it went to a super over, which is the equivalent of penalty kicks in a football match, for anyone that doesn't know. So you have one over, and whoever scores the highest in the over. And I think USA got 20. And so then Pakistan had to come in and bat to 6 balls to get over 20. Couldn't do it. Brilliant.
Were you discussing this on your WhatsApp with John Milan?
He's not into the cricket, John Milan.
So like hurling, you know.
Hurling football, Gaelic football. We don't like the rugby either on the WhatsApp group.
Right, back to the League of Ireland. So John was talking there about the Shelburne and Dundalk game, and just given the resurgence under John Daly now, albeit it is very early and you always get a new manager bounce, but it does seem like those Dundalk players are playing for him, Al.
Yeah, absolutely, Marie. And you're right about, I suppose, we see it so often with a little bounce when a new manager comes in. But 4 points out of 6 is a big bounce, especially when you think of where they were prior to that, hence John Daly coming in and getting the job. So I think that's going to be a tough game for Shelburne. I was in Talca, as John said there last week, and everybody predicted a Shelburne home victory against Sligo Rovers, who were struggling. But Sligo Rovers beat them, which was a surprise result. It really was, when you think of how good Shelburne have been this season. And they fully deserve to win Sligo Rovers as well. So Damien Duff wasn't best pleased after the match, and I'm sure you'll see a big reaction from them tonight. But that's a tough game, and we've seen it so much. Like we mentioned earlier on, we were having a bit of fun about it, Marie, in the sense of how difficult it is to predict the results. Mm-hmm. I'm getting them wrong every week. It's so hard. I've never seen the league as competitive, to be honest with you. And in some ways it's great to see, but in other ways I think the quality has dipped. Hence we're seeing so many kind of up and down games. And
why do you think it's dipped?
I just think the standard and the quality has dipped.
Of player?
Yeah. Not so much of a player, if you like, just the quality overall in terms of the teams. And I suppose the league now, I find now, and it's kind of been like this, and again, in some ways it's a good thing, but I certainly found in the last kind of 2, 3, 4 years, and with since Brexit has come in and stuff, and lads who were going away a bit later, the best players have been taken away 18, 19, 20 now, the likes of Sam Curtis or Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, these lads who were lighting up the league, Dara Burns, different lads like that over the past few years. And when they go, what's left, I always, like, you're taking the best players out of the league. Now, in some ways, it's brilliant. If you're a young player now, or a young kid going through the national underage setup, and you're 16, 17, 18 with Pats or Shells or whatever the case may be, whatever club you're at, and you have a chance of then going into the first team and you play 20, 40, 60 games, you're going over to a first team then in England, which is brilliant for the young kids. So in terms of a development league, I think it's absolutely fantastic, and the opportunities for the young kids. But in terms of the league overall and the quality of where we stand across other European leagues, I think we're well down, and I think that'll be proved when I go into Europe, because you look at Shamrock Rovers at the moment, and in some ways I have a little bit of sympathy for them, for the point I touched on earlier about a target on their back and everybody coming for you, and it's hard to maintain that. But I still think the barometer for them is going to be Europe, and if they maintain the form and they carry the form into Europe, what we're seeing at the moment in the league, they'll struggle.
Yeah, be a bit of a repeat of last year then.
Yeah, and it won't be good. And that's where, in fairness to Stephen Bradley, despite the success domestically, he has struggled in Europe, and that's where people will measure you on. And I think he needs a big Europe. I think he does this year. Now he's beginning to get players back. And if you even look at the inconsistency, Marie, like Shelburne won 6 of their first 7. Then the next 9 they'd only won 2 and yet remain top of the league. Like, that can't be right.
Yeah. Okay, well, I know you've spent most of the programme talking about how poor you are at predicting how games are going to go, but sure, we may as well go through the last few. So we have Derry City, Galway United, Waterford, Sligo Rovers, and Drogheda and St Pat's.
Derry home win. No, although Galway beat them earlier on the season up in the Brandywell, so who knows, but on paper I would say Derry, and Derry have disappointed me, Marie, because I spoke there about Shells and the form that they've been on. But they're not capitalising on it, Derry, when the likes of Shamrock Rovers, the likes of Shelburne slip up. But they need a win tonight, and I think they'll beat them. This kills me to say, but Waterford's home form is brilliant. Their last 4 games they've won at home. The only 2 defeats they've had is against the top 2, Shelburne and Derry. But their home form is absolutely brilliant. But Sligo Rovers have won 7 of their last 9, so they're in good form. Home win, possibly. And me pal Kev, they're struggling, Drogheda United. But then Stephen Kenny is struggling. So,
yeah.
So who knows? That's a huge game, Marie, because yeah, Stephen Kenny wouldn't have wanted to be where he is. Absolutely not. 4 defeats out of 5. Nobody would have thought. We spoke about a bounce with John Daly. They haven't got the bounce at all. So 4 out of 5 defeats. He needs to get a win tonight. That's a huge game in Weavers Park.
Okay, Al, thanks so much. Time for another quick break, and we'll be chatting then to Cathal Dennehy about the European Athletics Championships.
RTE 2FM. Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. It's time now to talk athletics. I'm delighted to say that journalist Cathal Dennehy joins me on the line. Cathal, day one of the European Athletics Championships in Rome. Not a bad start for the Irish athletes. Talk us through how it went.
Yeah, pretty good start here in Rome so far. Ciara McGeehan and Sarah Healy were first up, and they were both running well within themselves, especially I think Ciara McGeehan to finish third in her 1500 metre heat. Top 6 go through automatically, and she was, yeah, really in cruise control to advance, looking very impressive. The 3 Brits, probably the 3 athletes to beat alongside Ciara and perhaps Sarah Healy in that final. That's on Sunday night. But Sarah did well to dodge some trouble on the last bend, could easily have gone down, but stayed out of trouble, advanced in 4th place, and is through to Sunday's final. Unfortunately, no joy for Mark English. He went out after finishing 5th in his 800 metre heat. Not much he probably could have done differently to advance. And then Michelle Finn, after a long layoff, came back and ran well, having not raced this year yet. A good solid opener, and still perhaps has a chance at Olympic qualification.
I was looking at Ciara McGeehan's interview with David Gillick after the race, and she's talking about Sunday in the final and being favoured, and she seems to be taking it all in her stride. Does it bode well for her?
It does, but it's a tough race to win. You know, Ciara could win this race, but Ciara could also be 5th or 6th. There, you could throw a blanket probably over about 5 or 6 of them with 200 to go. The 3 Brits are the ones to watch, and I think especially Gemma Reekie, especially in a championship 1500 metre final. She's a very impressive 800 metre pedigree, 4th in the Olympic final. So she'll be very dangerous, especially the slower it goes to halfway. Ciara will want it to be faster.
This evening, lots going on as well. The big one, though, from an Ireland perspective, is the 4x400 metre mixed relay. And we've been talking about all the different games that are on this weekend and how different teams have their best players playing. Have we got our 4 best in this, Cathal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Killian Green isn't here. He was in the World Relays that helped them to bronze in that last mixed relay last month. But yeah, he's kind of focusing on the Olympic preparation, so he's the only one missing. But they have a very ample deputy in Chris O'Donnell, you know, national champion. He's very experienced at this level, Olympic finalist as well. So he'll be running the open leg. He'll be handing over to Rashida Adeleke, and then it'll be Thomas Barr and Charlene bringing it home. So legs 2, 3 and 4 are the exact same. And to be honest, overall, the strength of the team is pretty much the exact same as it was at those World Relays. And there was 0.08 seconds between silver and bronze that day. The Dutch just edged them to silver. I'd expect it will be very close again tonight between the Dutch and the Irish, with perhaps the Belgians thrown into the mix as well. They look to be the medal free for me.
Prediction? Well, what colour medal will it be?
I think it might be silver. I think if the bookies were pricing up, they'd probably have the Dutch favourites. And that really comes down to having the superstar that is Femke Ball. Mm-hmm. She'll be running that last leg. And I think really the order will be crucial, because I think Charlene Maudsley on that fourth leg, because Rashida is second and then Thomas Barr third, I think she'll get the baton in front. But Femke Ball is an absolutely lethal weapon to unload on that last leg for the Dutch. So I would perhaps, sadly, maybe expect her to run her down. But Charlene Maudsley put up one hell of a fight at the World Relays, so you never know, she might pull it off tonight.
Okay, and then just other action, what should we look out for this evening?
Yeah, Israel Olatunde is out in the heats of the men's 100. He's going to be up against it to get out of this. He hasn't had the best season, but he's been coming around recently and he tends to run well at championships, so he might escape, but he'll need a season's best probably to get out of that heat. That's at 8:10 Irish time. Eric Favors is in the men's shot put qualification just before 7 p.m. Again, he'll be up against it to make the final. And then rounding out the night, Jodie McCann in the women's 5K at 9:40 p.m. Irish time. You know, top 10 or top 12 will be a big run for her. But the one for all the Irish, it's on the RTE Player Live, 9:20 p.m. Irish time, will be that mixed relay final.
Fantastic. Carl Denny, as always, thank you so much for joining us. That is all we have time for this evening. Game On will be back on Monday looking at all of the weekend's action. Andrew Dupuyre is up next with the official chart show. RTE 2FM.